Ephesians 4, 1 to 13. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave great gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
When my boys were little, I taught them a line. If you don't know, I have four boys. Okay, so I taught them a line about brothers. And the line was, brothers are best friends forever. Now, in retrospect, it might have been a little more godly, maybe, if I had taught them to recite Psalm 133, like Gavin read to us this morning. Because in the ESV, it says, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. For there the Lord has commanded his blessing. So this psalm was a psalm of ascents. So the song was sung as families traveled together towards Jerusalem, towards the temple. So you can imagine, maybe, families traveling together back then, right? It's dusty, it's dirty, it's hot, the kids are tired, the kids are hungry, the animals are braying. Everybody's just had enough of travel. And so the parents are like, let's sing a song to get everybody's mind off us and help with the difficulty of travel. Because travel is hard, right? With kids, this is difficult. And throughout the years, many of you have asked me how I traveled back to Australia with multiple boys, often by myself. Well, I'll tell you a secret. We had what I called the confined space policy. And for those of you who work in trades, or you might know about confined space policies. There are different rules in confined space than in regular life. And so we had the same thing. The confined space rules just were applicable during travel, right? In a car, in an airplane, in the airport. And so the confined space rules were something like, you're not allowed to provoke. If provoked, you're not allowed to retaliate. There's no yelling or punching or kicking or the other things. You need to be considerate of those that are around you, your brothers, but also that passenger in front of you. And there were also some special privileges with the confined space policy. You got some special toys and all the screens and pop that you wanted. But I think of my confined space policies to get us to Australia, much like Psalm 133 that we heard read today, the song of ascents, this sort of, let's all sing a song so we don't get in a big fight before we get there. Some of you are thinking, I only drive 3 kilometers to church, and that's what happens. So I can tell from our responses that we all agree, right? This singing and just getting along like a musical in old days is just not our normal. This is not our human nature. Our sinful human nature is selfishness, pride, a strong sense of independence. And as we heard last week, Galatians 5, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and gentleness, patience, and self-control. So the fruit of the Spirit goes against the human nature. And so we should earnestly desire what the Spirit can do in our lives. And as we learned last week, as we were talking about the fruit, the Spirit in our individual life, that the Holy Spirit works in acts, right? The Holy Spirit assures us that we belong to a family, and then he connects us to our siblings. And then he transforms us to look more and more like our Father. So this week, as we're looking at what does the Holy Spirit do in our church? Well, the first thing he does is he calls for unity. Ephesians 4, which we heard Sarah read, says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. So, since last week, we learned that the Spirit connects us with our siblings. We can think this is the natural progression then that unity within the siblings is the main work that the Holy Spirit does within our church family. The Spirit calls for unity because it's together that we are his temple. It's together that we are the bride of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us, you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives among you. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. So the Holy Spirit resides in us individually, but it's together in unity that we become the body of Christ. Together we become the sacred temple. Together we become the family where God hosts his Spirit. And so the Spirit calls for unity because God is a Trinity. Therefore, unity is a reflection of God. Right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit unified, three in one. So since our God is a Trinity, unity is just in his DNA. Unity is who he is. And so that's why the blessing comes when his people live together in unity. We know from Scripture that since the beginning and throughout eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit have existed together in perfect love, perfect relationship, perfect unity. Right? The Father eternally begets the Son. The Son delights to glorify the Father. The Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son and doesn't draw attention to himself. He points us to Jesus and glorifies the Son. And then listen to how Jesus describes the Spirit. He will not speak on his own. He will only speak what he hears. He will glorify me. You see, there's no competition in the Trinity. There's no rivalry, no grasping for recognition. There's no, look at me. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit constantly giving, loving, honoring, glorifying each other. And this is the God whose Spirit lives within us. So when the Holy Spirit brings unity in the church, he isn't simply making a collection of clones, individuals, all doing the exact same thing, looking the exact same way. He's creating a people who reflect the very nature of God, a people marked by different personalities, different gifts, and living together in unity. So this means that unity isn't just a nice idea for Christians. The Spirit calls for unity because God is a Trinity. Therefore, unity in the church is a reflection of God. And so this is why Jesus' prayer for and the Holy Spirit's role in the church is for us to be one. And unfortunately, as you're aware, over the years, we as humans have done a lousy job of being unified in Christ. Right? We have started different denominations over such things as divorce or baptism, worship styles, women in leadership, the roles of the Holy Spirit. The list goes on and on and on. And I'm not saying those theological differences don't mean anything, but it does make me wonder, can we learn to disagree without those differences destroying our unity in Christ? Because Jesus prayed that we would be one. In John 17, I pray they would be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit wants to show the world that he is God by unifying people who couldn't otherwise be unified. Jew and Gentile, slave and free, men and women, his Spirit would pour out on all mankind. We would be unified by the Spirit as one body, called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all. And this, it would be revolutionary because it is so countercultural that it would point to God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit as one. The author Michael Green says, Paul insists that the Spirit creates unity and that it is the job of Christians to keep at unity and not spoil it. Paradoxically, like so much in the Christian life, unity is a gift of God, and yet we have to work at it. But working at unity doesn't mean becoming the same. So, our next point, unity doesn't mean the same. It means together. And we heard this in our scripture reading this morning from Ephesians 4. So Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why? To equip his people for works of service. For why? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity. Unity for what? Unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son Jesus and become mature. Unity is maturity, attaining to the whole measure and fullness of Christ. So together, as different people with different gifts, we ascend towards our God as one. Right? So it's together that we participate in worship. So whether you prefer old hymns, or whether you prefer modern songs, whether you prefer to raise a hand or tap a foot, being unified is our worship of the one God. So together, we also participate in communion. Whether you prefer real bread or wafers, juice, wine, the unity is remembering the death of Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. So together we participate in baptism. Whether you prefer a little sprinkle, you know, or a big dunk, the unity is acknowledging Jesus' death and resurrection. And together we participate in a desire to give. Whether you give a little number or a big number, the unity is in the desire to support God's mission in the world. So together we participate in all these things as we journey together, unified in Christ. Because the Spirit calls for unity, because God is a Trinity. Therefore, unity in the church is a reflection of God. And Jesus' prayer for and the Holy Spirit's role in the church is for us to be one, the temple of the living God. And unity doesn't mean we're all the same. but it means we are together. And lastly, here comes the tough one. Unity requires reconciliation. As Jesus suffered physical torture so much that his face was beyond recognition, and he gave his life so that we would be reconciled to God, we should also be in the ministry of reconciliation to God and to each other. Reconciliation to bring unity is so important that Jesus said in Matthew 5, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and then remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there at the altar. First, go and be reconciled. Then come and offer your gift." So it is not the way of Jesus to go about your Christian life with friction against your family members. It is not okay for us to be beside each other, but to have big walls up, protecting ourselves, siloing us. That is not how the body works. We are to be joined together in unity, serving each other, so that the world will know that we are his disciples. Because that is what will make us stand out. The way that we are not all the same, but we are unified. And that is what represents God. Because the way that we as a church body treat each other goes against the flow of the current worldly norms. It's the way of the Spirit. But be aware that just because the Spirit helps you in unity doesn't mean that you don't have to work at it. Doesn't mean that it's all going to be easy. So just because the Spirit helps you with unity doesn't mean you don't have to work hard. Pastor Gavin, alongside others in our denomination, runs a four-week course called Resonant Conversations. I took it this year, and I would encourage you all to sign up for the fall term or the winter term, because a course like this will give you some tools to make difficult conversations easier so that we can all work towards unity and not avoidance. A course like this will give you the tools to follow out Hebrews 10, which says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Don't give up meeting together. Don't stop coming to church. Why? Because we need you to encourage each other. Not so that you can come, hear a great sermon, and be like, "Great, great sermon. See you next week." No. Don't give up meeting together so that we as a family on a journey can encourage one another through those tough uphill times. We come to church to be encouraged so that we can move this week maybe a little lighter in our step, knowing that we're not traveling alone. Knowing that as we head into difficult situations, our church family has got our back. That they're holding our arms up in prayer. Being an encouragement to each other is like the song of ascents. So, the Spirit calls for unity. Because God is a Trinity, and therefore unity in the church is a reflection of God. Jesus' prayer for and the Holy Spirit's role in the church is for us to be one. But unity doesn't mean we're all the same, but it means we all move together. And unity requires reconciliation to God and to each other. So, I pray today that you would join me in committing to keeping this unity in the Spirit at Plattsville Church. When my boys were little, I taught them a line about their brothers. Brothers are best friends forever. And when the Jews traveled up to Jerusalem, they sang a song of ascents, a song to bring together a group of people, each one different, each one struggling with a different thing, but on a journey unified in purpose. Not each person with the same role, but each person helping each other, encouraging each other, and journeying together in unity. And so, for us, maybe Psalm 33, if we wrote it, might say something like, how good and pleasant it is at Plattsville Church when God's people live together in unity. It's like a beautiful, precious-smelling oil poured on our heads, running down in extravagance. It's like dew falling on grass, which makes it grow, and they would grow as they seek reconciliation with God and each other. And there, at Plattsville Church, in unity, the Lord will bestow his blessing, giving us life forevermore with God and with each other. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Trinity and the unity you built into who you are. Jesus, thank you for your prayers for us, that we may be one. Thank you for your example that you showed us, never seeking attention for yourself. Holy Spirit, we invite you to infiltrate not only our individual lives, but to unify us into one body. All members serving each other in love and humility as we journey together in our song of ascent towards you. Holy Spirit, as we each walk in step with you, reconciling with each other, may we bring glory to your name, that others may see and come and worship you also. Holy Spirit, lead us onward, walking through the great unknown, trusting, leading, holding, clinging, till the day you bring us home. Amen.